I know no one didn't have so much time to eat, so continue to eat. It's a tremendous cover for us that Rabbi Schechter agreed to share some Tevei Torah with us. Rabbi Schechter and I go back many, many, many years. Rabbi Schechter's father, of course, is my Rebbe, going back a long way. We have this list. We had this list to spend many, many summers together. And Rabbi Schechter has, as everybody here knows in the neighborhood, really has lifted up our neighborhood in so many ways by opening the Beis Medrash. My son-in-law, I think maybe Rabbi Schechter was there. My son-in-law was talking about how when Rabbi Schechter first started this new position, they started a new position in Young Israel, Rosh Beis Medrash. So some of the chevra in YU were joking around with him a little bit. And so when he came back after he got the job, so the chevra in YU, so they were joking around with him, Rosh Beis Medrash, what does it mean, new position? Rabbi Schechter said, you're laughing now. But pretty soon, many shuls in the United States are now going to have something called a Rosh Beis Medrash. And sure enough, my son-in-law got to also do something very similar to being a Rosh Beis Medrash in the merit of Rabbi Schechter. When he spoke at the Young Israel, so he mentioned that. So, Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of connections. It's a real schluss for us, so we appreciate the Rebbe's time, and thank you so much for coming.
Mazel tov, everybody, and thank you, Bereshis Rabbi Kamenetsky. Rabbi Kamenetsky told me when to come, but I'm sorry that I missed out on the whole Siyum part and the whole other Divrei Torah and the dancing, but it's a pleasure to be a part of the Simchas HaTorah, especially the week before Shavuos. What an amazing way to go into Yantiv and to celebrate together, and welcome to all those who are here from New Jersey. You should always travel out here for wonderful get-togethers and Simchas like this and many others. So Rabbi Kamenetsky had asked me to share a little bit about something to do with the Siyum and this time of the year. And what I was trying to think about this evening as I was putting something together was to try to consider Masechet Sota, which I'm jealous of all of you that I don't learn the Daf Yomi. I wish I did. I guess I should say I wish I taught the Daf Yomi. Someday I should be Zoche, but you didn't start till you were also a little older than me, right? So, I should be Zoche at least to learn from Rabbi Kamenetsky that when I get to this age, I should be able to do the same and be able to be Marbitz Torah the way he does in such a beautiful way. But what I was thinking when perusing through the Masechta today and trying to think about an important message, what came to mind is something that I noticed a couple of times throughout the Masechta, we come to an understanding of the following theme. There's an interesting mashal that the Dubna Magid gives when he tries to explain the prohibition in the Torah of Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to add on to any mitzvah, you're not allowed to take away. People are already looking at their watches, I didn't even start. So, Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra. So the Dubna Magid wonders, what is this all about? What's so bad? So I want to add on to a mitzvah, but I want to do something in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because I'm spiteful, it's not because I don't believe in him, it's because I love him even more. So what is Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra all about? I don't know how many of you went to YU, but my father often gives the following mashal. Just because you think something is furthering the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily mean that's the way it is. So for example, he says, you go on the A train, and it says by the 181st Street stop, Yeshiva University. There's a sign in the train station that says Yeshiva University. If you go one step further, where do you go? What's the next stop? The cloisters. So my father often uses that as a mashal. If one stop is the Beis Medrash in Yeshiva University, going further into the Ratzon Hashem doesn't necessarily mean you're going in the right direction. One more stop could be going straight into the cloisters. So for anyone who's familiar with the A-train and the stops, you appreciate it. But the Dubna Magid suggests a mashal to explain what Bal Tosif and Bal Tigra is all about. And he says that basically what the premise of the whole mitzvah is all about, of the whole Isser is all about, is to understand, the way the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim writes it, to understand that everything in the Torah is perfect. I'm going to read you the Lashon of the Rambam, where he says, Hadavar hashalem betachlis ha'efsharas b'mino. If you have something that is so complete, that is so flawless, that is so perfect, lo yitachen sheyimtza zulaso b'mino ki im pachos me'osa ha'shlemus. Anything you're going to add, any exaggeration you're going to have, or any embellishment, anything that you're going to have in either direction, says the Rambam, is going to take away from the perfect nature of what the Torah is. If you're adding or taking away from anything that the Torah suggests that we do in our lives or obligates us to do or wants us to behave in a certain way, and you're going to take that to an extreme, too much or too little, so the Rambam says you're basically saying that you don't believe that the Torah is perfect the way it is. If you feel the need to add to it, it means there was something deficient, there was something lacking, and without my addition, it wouldn't have been good enough. So this is really what I wanted to touch upon, because I felt as I was going through some of the Masechta, this is really a theme that came to my mind. So the Avestar Abnasan writes an interesting line. The Avestar Abnasan says, what is the life of a Jew all about? And I'm sure Rabbi Kamenetsky has had the same kinds of conversations with high school boys that I've had once in a while. You know, I've heard kids make some kind of assumption that God really doesn't care about Zman Kriya Shema. I mean, come on. Does he care if I say Kriya Shema at 9:13 instead of 9:11? Does it really matter? And does he really care if I miss the Zman Tfila and if I really say Yalav V'Yavu tonight in Shemona Esrei, I said Talamut or I didn't say Mashav Ruach? Really matters to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all these things? So the Avestar Abnasan gives us a mashal to try to understand what it's all about. And he says the following. He says that life for us as Jews is a mashal la'arista. What is that? That's a person who's walking down a road, a derech hamelech, a nice road. Shehi overes bein shnei derechim. But the problem is, on two sides of the road, there are two major pitfalls. On the one side, there is achas shel or, ve'achas shel sheleg. If you go off on one side of the road, you're going to fall into a ditch that has fire raging there. If you go off to the other side of the road, you're going to get stuck in a ditch that has snow. And the mashal that is trying to be conveyed by the Avestar Abnasan is that one in living a Torah-centered life has to realize that everything is very specific and very careful and very meticulous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a system where he wants us to be living in that Shvil Hazav, in the middle road, where we're not going to the extreme in either direction. And we're always understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be riding in that Derech HaMelech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be riding that road of not being extreme in either direction, not the Baal Tosef and not the Baal Tigra. And the reason why I think this is something that is very relevant is because it's actually a Gemara Maseches Sota. The Gemara Maseches Sota describes the Chassid Shota. What is the Chassid Shota? Chassid Shota is the celebrated personality that the Gemara describes, who sees a Isha Tovaz Benar. The Gemara says, you see a woman who needs help. And she's drowning in the ocean, she's drowning in the river, and I happen to be a lifeguard, and I know how to save that person. And the Gemara says that this chassid says, you know, I can't really do that, because after all, isn't that going to compromise my standards of tznius? I don't normally engage women who are dressed like that, let alone the fact that I don't normally engage women at all who aren't part of my family, so why am I jumping into the river? But the person needs my help. I understand they need my help, and in the end of the day, I don't want to compromise my standards. Says the Gemara, we refer to you as a chassid shota. The Yerushalmi gives a similar example, where the Yerushalmi says that you have a person who sees an individual who's drowning, but they're wearing tefillin. So what should I do? I'm going to jump into the water, my tefillin are going to get ruined. Of course, we understand the value of life, but I also understand the value of tefillin. So that, says the Gemara, is the description of a chassid shota. And that is something that, although a person is trying to do good, and although a person is well-intentioned, and of course, I want to save lives. And if all else was equal, I would never choose not to save a life. But I also don't want to compromise my standards or my principles. There the Gemara says, that is what we refer to as a chassid shota. I think what the Gemara is trying to teach us is about living a balanced lifestyle, but really understanding not to go to the extreme in either direction, but knowing what the extreme actually is also not so simple. You have to know what is the right decision to be made each time you're faced with the dilemma of which way to go off the road. Of course, the easiest thing to do is to stay on the middle of the road, but that's not always the option we're given. I'm going to ruin my tefillin. I'm going to destroy a life. You have to know how to make the right calculation in each decision that we're going to be confronted with in the Hakdama, in the introduction to the Maharsham's Tshuvas. He has an amazing story where he tells about an individual who once goes to a marketplace somewhere, and it's not like today where we have images on the internet where we can see things that are going on in other places. Whatever people then didn't see with their own eyes, they didn't really understand what it was. They couldn't really wrap their heads around it. So he had heard that there was such an idea that when you see somebody who's a midget, somebody who's, you know, smaller than other individuals, someone who's configured differently, he had heard that there's a concept that we make a bracha mishana habrius. Never in his life did he encounter such a person, but he had heard there was such an idea. He goes to a marketplace one day, and he sees in the big city in Leipzig that there's one of these individuals, and he's so excited. Because now, for the first time in his life, he's going to have the opportunity to make the bracha mishana habrios. Never in his life did he see anybody who was different looking than he was. So he runs over to this individual. And the lashon of the Maharsham is, tafas oso nanas kelulav. He was excited about the fact that he had an opportunity to make a bracha. So what do you do? He picks up this individual like a lulav, just like you would when you're making a bracha, and he starts shuckling with him in his hands. And he says, he's making the bracha Mishana Abrios, and he says, in the place of paving himself a path into Gan Eden for saying a bracha with kavana and for thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the differences between human beings and the complexity of the human life and the human spirit and the human body, and everyone's different, how beautiful, what an amazing bracha, in the place of building himself and paving a golden path into Gan Eden, he writes how this person, he watched how he paved a golden path straight into Gehenna. Because he went to the extreme, he didn't understand what's the appropriate thing to do and what perhaps is not. And this is something that the Gemara shares with us in Maseches Sota. It's a very important idea that the Gemara tells. The Gemara Maseches Yuma tells another very sad, very upsetting story, but the Gemara says that there was once an individual who was running up the Kevesh of the Mizbeach, and as we know, that this was a very contentious issue because many Kohanim wanted to have the opportunity to run up the Mizbeach and to do the Avodah. And there was some kind of misunderstanding, and one of them pushed the other one off the Mizbeach and or stabbed him, the Gemara says, two different stories. And this Kohen actually died in the Beis HaMikdash. He died in the Beis HaMikdash because his friend stabbed him in the way on the service to go serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach to offer the Karbanos. And the Gemara says that the father of this individual walks in, sees that his son is Mefarper Vaholech, he sees that his son is dying out, he sees he's bleeding out. But he notices what knife did his friend use to stab him. What knives were around? Of course, he used a knife that was intended for Shechita. And the Gemara said he took that knife out of his son's body and he started screaming in the Beis HaMikdash. The knife is about to become Tamei. My son is about to die. Let me make sure to take it out of the Beis HaMikdash that it doesn't become Tamei. And the Gemara bemoans the fact that the priorities are off. That even the father, when he sees his own son die, forget about the fact that he's a son. Any human being who's in pain, any human being whose life is at stake, is in jeopardy. You're worried about the knife? Because it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to become Tamei. And what the Gemara is trying to share with us is to always keep everything in perspective. To always have the right balance. And to always make sure that we have the right understanding and to stay in the Shvil HaZav. The way the Rambam explains it, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, there are some people who get angry too easily. The Rambam says there are some people on the other extreme who never get worked up about anything. And the Rambam says both extremes are inappropriate. You shouldn't get too angry, and you shouldn't be too calm. And the Rambam goes through each midah, and he says that it's not good to be on the extreme of either one. And the Rambam introduces us to this idea that the Rambam was actually attacked for this. There were B'nai Dora who said that the Rambam took this from Aristotle. The Maritz Chias later on came and said the Rambam did not get it from Aristotle. The Rambam got it from Torah sources, of course, like we heard. But the Rambam may have been influenced by the way Aristotle framed it. But whatever it is, the Rambam puts it in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam puts it in Hilchos Deos, where he tells us about the importance of always finding the perfect balance between all of the extremes. Why is it extremely relevant to Maseches Sota? Not only because in the middle of the Masechta we're introduced to this idea where the Gemara tells us about the Chassid Shota, but also because there's only one or perhaps very minimal exceptions to the rule where we find that would it actually be appropriate to go to the extreme. Where is it appropriate to go to the extreme? That also finds itself in Maseches Sota. So the Gemara has an understanding that somebody who becomes a Nazir is considered to be a Chote. You're doing something wrong. Why am I doing something wrong? After all, don't we know that this is going to bring more Kedusha into my life? It's going to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm taking extra chumras upon myself. What can possibly be wrong with that? So the Gemara assumes that the reason why it's considered to be inappropriate is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to... The Gemara doesn't spell out the whole thing, but the way all the Mefarshim explain it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy the world. And you're taking away your opportunity to enjoy different aspects of the world. You're never going to drink wine. You're never going to participate in certain activities. That's taking away your opportunity to enjoy life. And therefore, the Gemara says that person is Nikra Chote. So why does he become a Nazir in the first place? Writes the Gemara. Because somebody who experiences this spectacle of a woman who becomes a Sota, goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and the embarrassment that she has to go through, the whole process, as you learn in the very beginning of the Masechta, all the terrible things that happened to the Sota, says the Gemara, it has to make a Roshim on you. Because what brought a person to be in that state in the first place? Probably because the woman had drank a little too much, she was not being as serious in life as she should have been, and as a takeaway message from whatever you experience by watching this sota unfold in the Beis HaMikdash and the whole story unravel, because of that, you have to then take something very serious upon yourself, and you have to become a nazir. That's what the Gemara says. That's the correlation between a nazir and a sota. The first daf in Masechta Sota talks about it. What do you learn from there? What you learn from there is, although it's true that the Rambam says, and the Midrashim tell us, and the Gemara says about the Chassid Shota, person should never live to the extremes. A person always has to find that Shvil Hazav, the way the Sefer HaChinuch writes it is, a person who does that is Mekayim the Mitzvah of Halachta Bedrachav, that to follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to be normal, not to be extreme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to go to the extreme. But there are times in life when we do need to go to the extreme. When is that? When there's something that is so glaringly, obviously wrong with the situation in front of us, we need to react to the extreme when that happens. The example that we're given is the Nazir in response to the Sota. Something terrible happened. As a reaction to that, you need to go to the extreme to pull it back the other way. The Gemara gives a lesson somewhere that when you want to bend a tree in the opposite direction, so what do? You get blown by the wind in one direction. What you do is you tie it down completely to the opposite direction. After enough time, it's slowly going to come back to the middle. It's going to come back to where it's supposed to be. And that's the exception to the rule that we find. When does one not follow the Shvil Hazav? When does one not follow the exact middle of the road path, which is the equilibrium of life, living life in moderation? When do we go to the extreme? It's when you have something extreme going on the opposite direction. You have to pull it back in the other way. So my father often gives an example where he says, you look around and you see how many people are dishonest in business, and you see how many people are not doing the right thing, and you see how many Jews, Rahmana Litzlan, in our own communities are going to jail for crimes that they're doing. Well, that means in our generation, we need to go to the extreme on honesty. I can tell you every time I'm in the airport with my father, you know, you fly a lot, and they always ask you the same questions. Did you pack your suitcases? He always says no. And did anyone give you anything to bring? Yeah, of course. So where are these people? Well, I gave a shiur on Monday night. Somebody gave me, you know, some shliach mitzvah money to bring. Then on Tuesday night, I gave a shiur here. And somebody gave me a package for their son who lives over there. And he's always very honest with them. And I say, you're always going to continue to be stopped in the airport. Can we maybe answer a little differently? And he says, what am I going to do? I'm going to be dishonest. They're going to ask me a question. I'm going to say, no. When they ask me, did I pack my suitcases, I'm going to say, yes, I did, even though I didn't. I have to tell them the truth, so I say my wife did. Now, if they think that someone who looks like him is actually a terrorist, maybe we need new personnel in the airport. But at the same time, it's when I've spoken to him about it, he said it's not just about being honest for ourselves. It's also when you see how the generation is so deficient in this regard, where somebody could get on international TV and have no problem lying about something. Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this, how there is a assumption that the Gemara gives, that milsa da'avida l'gluye lo mashakri inchi. When you have something that is ultimately going to be found out, people are going to hear the facts, nobody's going to lie about that. If you know you can get caught in a lie, why would you lie? So Rav Soloveitchik spoke about, when did that assumption begin? Was that in Maisa Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first human being? Is that the way it was set up, or was that something later, just an understanding that we had? But now you look on the news and you see every day, the greatest politicians all over the world have no problem saying things where they know that the next day it can be discovered that they told a total lie, and yet nobody has a problem with it. And they get away with it, and they move on, and everyone forgets about it, and it's not a problem at all. When we live at a time when there's such a deficiency in one direction, then it's on us to be like the Nazir in response to the Sota. When we live, I know that very often we have Shadas and Yichud. Yichud is a black and white halacha, but some of the details are a little bit complicated. And there are all kinds of heterim that we have, if you leave the door open, if you have a baila ba'ir, different kinds of heterim that the Shulchan Aruch describes. So I've called my father with many different yichud shadas that people have. You know, you have a cleaning woman in the house, you have an aide in the house, you have this, different things that come up all the time, every day. And I've called him with many of these questions. And he said, yes, the Shulchan Aruch does say that there are heterim, and of course there are ways around it, and we can leave the door unlocked. But if you live in a generation that's so parutz ba'arayos, look at people who are making such terrible mistakes in these issues of arayos, then it's on us to be like the Nazir in this generation. And maybe we shouldn't accept the heterim of Yichud at this time. Of course they're legitimate. And of course if you're stuck, the Shulchan Aruch says that's what you should do. But is it really a smart thing for us to do when we feel that we're so lax in general as a community in certain areas? That's where the Gemara says, although it's never good to be the extreme, although it's always good to live a life of moderation, when the Gemara does encourage us to try to go to the extreme in some way is when we have these kinds of situations that we're confronted with, where we see that things are swinging in the pendulum in total opposite direction. That's when we have to try ourselves as the ones who are Yirei Hashem to swing it back in the right direction. So as you finish Maseches Sota and you take all of the wonderful lessons that you've learned and such an amazing Masechta. I don't know how long I have. Can I share one last thing on the last daf? Rabbi Willig is speaking also? Amazing. Okay, one last thing. I can't not share it. It's just amazing. On the last daf in Maseches Sota, the Gemara goes through when this one died, when that one died, and the last Mishnah Maseches Sota talks about what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. How amazing was it to learn that Gemara and to see that every single thing is coming true in our generation. It means we're just coming closer to Mashiach. And the markets are going to be topsy-turvy, and it says parents aren't going to have any respect from their children. Pnei Ador ke Pnei Akelev. Everything the Gemara describes is coming true, really, to an exact detail of what the Gemara describes. But lastly, the Mishnah says, Ve'ein lanu amili hishayin ela alavinu shebashamayim. That's the last line. Now we're going to look at the world and we're going to say, look, this is upside down, and that's not going right, and everything seems to be going in the wrong direction, and we're just going to throw up our hands and say, you know, God, this is your problem. This is your problem. We have no way to deal with this. We don't know how to fix it. The only way this is going to be fixed is if you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, get involved. Reb Chaim V'Lajner in the Sefer Kol HaKosav L'Chaim has an amazing interpretation where he changes the whole understanding of that last line in the Mishnah. He says the Mishnah tells us this is going to go wrong and that's going to go wrong and plenty of things are going to be going in the opposite direction that we want them to. And you know what the worst of all the curses is going to be? When we come to a time when the Jewish people are going to throw up their hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we give up. Can there be a worse time in history than that? When Jews are living life thinking, there's nothing I can do to contribute positively to society. There's nothing more that's left for me to fix because everything is so broken and there's no way we're ever going to turn this around. Says Reb Chaim V'Lajner, that's just a natural progression of everything else that the Mishnah describes, and that's rock bottom. That's the worst. When a Jew believes he came to a place where there's nothing he can contribute positively to society because it is so corrupt, because it is so negative, it is so negatively influenced, and there's nothing that we can do to turn or change the tide in any way. In that kind of time, says Reb Chaim V'Lajner, that's when we've hit rock bottom. That's when we know we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the chizuk, to give us the opportunity. And Emir Tashem, we should be those people who have the ability to see clarity after we finish a Masechta and as we continue our commitment to what it means to be learning Torah Hashem, to be connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our learning, to have such an amazing Magid Shir who brings us the Mesorah of his Rabbeim and of all those who have taught him and links us as part of the chain, the glorious chain that he is a part of. It's an opportunity for all of us to remind ourselves of the commitment that we have to never say, Ein lanu lishayin ela alavinu shebashamayim, but to partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to make sure that we always avail ourselves that opportunity to make the world a better place, to bring goodness into the world, and to make sure that we, in reaction to all that we see of the sota in our society, that we act as the ones who are going to be the nazir, that we act as the ones who are going to live upstanding lives, who are going to show the world that you can do it, even in a time like this, even at a situation like this, and to give nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout all of our efforts. Mazel tov to all of you.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shechter. Thank you so much. Beautiful words. Okay, please eat. Anil, welcome. We'll sing a niggin.